You might like to turn in your Bible, if you would, to the Gospel of Mark in chapter 8. Perhaps we could look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, we thank you for thy word. We thank you for your presence again. Spirit of God, take it and help us. And we'll thank you very much in Christ's name. Amen. In our study of the last week or so, as we're looking into the new year, moving forward again, and we read it, or would read it, in Ecclesiastes, if you read in chapter 1 and verse 3, what shall it profit a man if he gain, what shall it profit a man in the light of all his labor? In all that we do, and a book of Ecclesiastes is all about that. So when you're all done, when everything is said and done, God, what have we got? Birth, death, everything we could ever have in family, friends, coming, going, work, home, school, what would we have? Now, in the light of that, then come to Mark chapter 8, and our Lord will say that another way. Mark chapter 8, verse 36, for a little context. Verse 35 even. For whosoever shall save his life shall lose it for my sake and the gospel's sake, gospels, the same shall be save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with his holy angels. And again, verse 36, what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Now, and that's just like Ecclesiastes, what profit is that when you're all done trying to have everything on an earthly plain and level, what are you going to have when you're done? So we're counting on, people are counting on what? They're counting on the future, today, and they're looking in their heart and head, understandably, they're looking to the future. And then what can we think we have thus and thus today. And what are we going to have? What we have, and what we're going to have. We haven't got it yet, but it's in our mind what we're going to have. What we can do now, we can do certain things now, and what we're able to do later. What we plan on doing later, and assume that we can do it. Assume that we have it. Assume that we can do it. That's how we live. That's how people live. And in the light of that, and in the process, and we have our hopes, and we're hoping in our hopes. We're hoping our hopes are hopeful. That's what we're looking for. We have all hope, expectancy, anticipation of what we have, do, can be, whatever, and we have all that. And that's how we live. That's how we live, understandably. And if we were to read in Job and chapter 8 and in verse 13, so are the paths of those that forget God. And the hypocrite's hope shall perish. The hypocrite's hope shall be like a spider web and disappear. So people are hoping all of these things go and work out in one way or another. That's how we live, understandably, and we do that. And Christ died, because that's our only hope, is earthly. We have no way to take on rightly tomorrow past the grave. We can't do that. And so therefore, God, we need to look to you and understand that it isn't going to profit us at all if we have morning, noon, and night, all our desires, wants, wishes, if they're all filled and they're all happy and we have everything and make $1 million, all of that's fine. But, when we're all done with all our adventures, what do we have? What is it going to profit you when you lose your own soul? So God, we've got to look after something else. It isn't taking things in tangibly, materially. It isn't that. Nope. We've got to do something for our heart, for our soul. And we share together in Hebrews, etc. And Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. And we share together that we're to, you can turn there just quickly. Hebrews in chapter 12. We were there last time, remember. And we share together in the light of the great catalog of faith, verse chapter 11, of all the people that learned to trusted God in the thick and thin of it and made it. And God gives us this abbreviated catalog in all of these verses, chapter 11. It's all about believing God, that God, the invisible God, who's able to do exceeding abundant above all that we ask or think. So, in the light of that faith, not by works, think of Sunday school, verse chapter 12, verse 1. Remember, wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and we share together. That verb has to do with surrounding us, encompassing us. In other words, the world system, our little world, the snow, the kitchen, the driveway, the street, the world surrounds us. It's all around us. And it circles us. Our phones, our things we have to do and things we have to be, and all of it surrounds us. Think of Matthew 13, 19, 20, 21, 22. All of it. The world, the cares of this life, they all surround us. And therefore, that's the word, easily encompassed. And thus they have the advantage, because they're surrounding us. And God, we've got to break through this, because it hinders us, it catches us, it holds us. That's right. And to run, how are we going to run the race? We can't run the race. We're encompassed, we're covered around, we're caught up in everything. Our mind and heart is divided. And then we share together, remember. We're going to do so by looking, sanctifying the Lord God in your heart. You're going to look unto, here's all the things in your life, persons, places, problems, pressures, all kinds of things that you think about, worry about, talk about, feeling good, feeling bad. And then there's God. God, I want to make sure I have you understand your presence, your wonderful person. You are who you are. You always are who you are. Good. I want that. I don't want to lose it, God. I have to do the dishes. I have to do this. I have to take my medicine. I have to do all of this. I don't want to lose you. Hang on. I want to focus. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. So God, you're the author, the beginner. You're the beginner, the captain. You're the starting point. So God, we're going down the track. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And I'm going down the pathway, down the road, and God, You are there, yet you already made the way, the paths of righteousness. You already made the way to get there, and you are the finisher, the completer, the perfecter, to bring that to completion, to perfection, to the goal line. God, you lead the way, and you're the one to make sure I get where I'm going. You're going to finish it off. Philippians 1:6, he that hath begun a good work in you is going to do a wonderful work in you, and he starts the work, he's going to finish the work. Therefore, be very confident and encouraged to go down the road, because he's in front and behind. And then we went and added to that the wonderment that God, you are our past, the Lord Jesus Christ, in Christ, because of Christ, our whole history, our past before we were ever created, you have it. Our future before it ever comes to an end, you have it. Our present moment of time, you have it. God, you're our past, present, and future. God, you're our the beginning and the ending. God, you are all in all. That's what we just did in Sunday school. God. What is it? Well, God, it's nothing about us. It's all about you. You're the creator. Here's the wood. The wood doesn't say, I would like to make this piece of wood. No, the wood is the wood. And only the creator can make this piece of wood. This wood is created, and it can't do anything. The creator does it. He gets all the credit. He's in the top, at the top, and at the bottom, and in the middle. He's the one that does it. Not by our works. Nothing about us. And thus you are the center. And what's it going to be in the end? Think of 1 Corinthians 15. When the Lord makes everything right, a new heavens and a new earth going to come. And God, what is it going to be? You are going to be all in all. There'll be nothing anywhere in forever that you aren't the centerpiece forever. It's all about you. Not about us. Not about your work or your home or school or health or children. It isn't about that. It's about God being God. And a human heart has the right, is designed and fashioned for God to be God in a most wonderful way. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, over if you would please, in your Bible to the book of Philippians, in the book of Philippians, please, picking up if I may, in chapter 1, I'll read what we just quoted a little bit. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it. How long? Until the day of Jesus Christ. Till he comes, he's going to finish. He starts, he finishes. And we understand we're in him to get there. There's no question. It's an awesome thing. But I need to get out of the picture in the right way so that I can make sure God is in the picture in the right way. I don't want to lose your God. It isn't about Israel. It isn't about America. It isn't about work. It isn't about home. It isn't about my health. It isn't about my age. It isn't about my marriage. It isn't about my children. All of those things are relevant, but it isn't about that. It's about you. And the outworking of our little life in the light of all of those things, plus so much more. Philippians chapter 1. So, Paul, what are you going to say? You're in jail. Everything works out. Aha. And verse 21, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain, a great advantage. So, to me to live is Christ. Christ is my life. That's right. For me to live is Christ. Aha, that's wonderful, wonderful. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, over to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians in chapter 3. Now, Paul gives his credentials, you would recall, and he gives them. And he has all kinds of credentials. Remember, he's a Roman citizen, went to probably university at Tarsus or something like that. He was a Pharisee, a Hebrew of Hebrews. He was a Roman citizen, a Jewish citizen, a Pharisee. I mean, what didn't he have? He had money, his family, rich, married, had to be a Pharisee. Wow. But you never hear any of that. Paul, you never tell us that. No, it's irrelevant. When Christ saved me on the Damascus Road, all of that was irrelevant. I'm a new creature in Christ. God, you delivered me. Aha! Now I want to gain from that, if I can. Picking up, please, as you know, wonderfully. I'll read it just to get the flavor of it. Philippians 3 and verse 5, circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. I did everything the Pharisees, as a Pharisee I should, I tried. But, verse 7, but what things were gained to me, I counted loss for Christ. So here I have this big list. If you're going to use a list and have your credentials to be approved, secured, assured, accepted, loved, Paul said, listen, don't count on any of them. What things were gained to me, these I counted loss. I counted them to lead out, to lead the mind. I esteemed them. I looked at so-and-so, and I looked at the list, profit and loss. I looked at the list, and I couldn't name one thing about my life that was worthy of God's righteousness in any way, shape, or form. None of it did. None of it fit. I didn't have anything when I'm all done. I counted it. I counted it loss. On account of its loss, in other words, it's damaged. It's a bad bargain. If I hang on to it, it's a bad bargain, a dead loss, a penalty. Not going to come out good at all. It's just not going to be good if I'm going to count on it. So in chapter 3 and verse 7, but what things were gained to me, I counted loss for Christ. I counted them loss. I left them. I looked at the whole list. You could look at your list. And what are you counting on? Well, I went to school, I did this, I did that, I am that. Now, each one of you have that little list. It's your personal list for your personal life. And that's what you look to, because you can't look to somebody else's. You look to your own little list of how you've experienced this far in life, and you look to that. And you're looking to that. And you do that. And we count it. We started with that. You're counting on it. You're counting on what you have now and what you think and what you feel and what you think you're going to have and hope you're going to have. And you're doing it. That's what you do. That's how we live. We're doing that. That's how we do it. Understandably. But God, Paul said, listen, that's the wrong approach. Because you're going, it's all cumbering, Hebrews 12:1, it's surrounding you, and what it's doing is, if you look at it wrongly, handle it wrongly, it's going to go and handle you. And you aren't going to run anywhere. You're just going to run in circles, like the hamster in the cage on the rotary, around. Not going anywhere. God, you got to help me. Paul, what did you see that, Paul? I did. How fast on the Damascus Road in one moment? I said, Lord, what would you have me to do? I understood my whole life. I was zealous. eager for life, eager for my cause, eager for my country, eager for the religion, Judaism. I was for all of it with great zeal. And all of it stopped. And I changed. Because I came into the presence of God and found I was going nowhere. I was against Him. Most people aren't that zealous about anything. Maybe the football game. But they aren't zealous. They aren't. Paul was. So if you want to say, Paul, God, you picked the right man to help us, to be an example, I did. Now, verse 8. Yea, doubtless. And I count all things but loss, there's your word again, for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord. So God, here we are looking, and we're looking, and it's all loss for the excellency, and that word excellency means to be over, above, supreme, over, above, to it, over, above, beyond everything, to the verb, heaven to hold, over and above, beyond, super duper, abounding, beyond, supreme, superior. Wow. Aha, that's right. I'm counting on all things but loss. And what are you going to put in place of it? You can't empty the column, profit and loss, liabilities and assets. You're going to take them all away. Aha, that's what you do. What will it profit a man if he has a whole list? If he loses his whole soul, what will that do? No good at all. Therefore, Paul said, are my profit and assets, profit, liabilities, etc. Here I am, God, and I'm looking at the list, and God, it is bankrupt. It's inadequate. It won't do a thing. My profit is no good. I move it all to the loss column. Loss. I don't have anything. Ah. But what did you discover? In a moment of time, on the Damascus Road, you were introduced to profit in its most awesome fashion. God, what would you have me to do? I was introduced to God. So the only thing that now counts is not my family, not my wealth, not my background, not my everything, not all the things I do, all the favor I have with the Pharisees and that, I'd be one hot shot out there. But that isn't it, is it, Paul? No, it isn't. No. God, it was all about you, the excellency. The having and the holding of what? Of an understanding, a true, healthy, happy, holy understanding of who you are. And that's what it's all about. Well, and you know, when you die, I think this, I don't know it, but I think so. But when I die, in that moment, it isn't going to be about anything. It isn't the scriptures, the couple I know. It isn't a couple of truths that I can say like this. Nope. It's just going to be you, God. That's all it's going to be. I'm telling you, that's what it's going to be. Wow. Now, so, yea, doubtless, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. A wonderful, wonderful thing that to know and honor you. Now, for the Lord. And for whom I have suffered the loss, lost it all, as it were, in the in losing it, to have damage, loss, etc. It was no fine, penalized. No, I have suffered the loss. No, I put it aside. It's no good. No good. I was hoping it would help. I counted on it to help, but didn't do it. The loss of all things. The loss of all things. That means the whole profit column on our little life that we had to start with. What shall it gain if it gain the whole world? What shall it profit a man if he makes a big, long list of things he's done? And then he dies, he brings nothing in, he takes nothing out. Well, what did he do? So what do you get? Paul, the conclusion, you know it, it's a wonderful thing. The whole thing's wonderful, because it isn't about you or me. It's nothing about us. So it isn't something we contribute, something we're going to earn, something we're going to be good enough for, that we're going to care enough, somehow we're going to come out ahead of some people and be all right. No, it isn't. No. It's about you, God. That's right. It isn't about us. And therefore, once I get it, I got to get it. You're ahead of me, God. You're behind. You're going to finish it. Uh-huh. And my whole existence, before I was ever created by him, God, you had me back there before the foundation of the world. You have me at the end, seated at the right hand, Ephesians. I'm seated there. I'm in the middle. Here I am, God, Christ in you, the hope of glory. God, here I am. You're the beginning and ending. Right, so how am I going to now say it? Verse 8. The end of the verse. For whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and I do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. I count them but dung, that I may win Christ. That I may win. That I want to go. I want to go and be God. I want to win. And I understand. I'm going to count them as dung. Now remember dung. Dung means to throw something to the dogs, literally. The dogs. Dogs are an unclean animal, and dogs eat whatever that in that day. And the Gentiles were dogs to the Jews. And the Jews became Gentiles. The Jews became Gentiles to the believer. The Jews became dogs, as it were, I should say, treated. The Jews should have believed like the Gentiles should. So now, having said that little thought, now, here they are as dung, dregs, refuge. That which is thrown to the dogs, any waste, anything worthless, useless. Dung, waste. What do you do with it? You fertilize, or you get rid of it. Why do you get rid of it? I hate to make an impression on you, but I'll make it. Because you'll get it. What happens if you don't get rid of it? What if it keeps growing? Are you happy with that? Wouldn't you want to get rid of that? With panic, you'd want to get rid of it. Because it's no use. And you get the message. It's dung. Paul said, listen, I got it. It's dung. Once you see that, you got to. That's Paul saying, in me dwelleth what? No good thing. How could you possibly say such a thing about since you're such a prestigious person? Because I see it from God, your point of view. It's dung. That's awesome, isn't it? You can't go say that to the people at work tomorrow, you know. It's only for the heart with God that you can put this together. Wow. So God, here we are looking, and you've done all of this for us, and you're counting it as dung that I might win Christ. I might have that wonderful, wonderful knowledge. Now, having said that little bit, then I want to go, and if I can, in a minute, and try to help understand that God, my profit column is zero. All in the lost column, long list. God, that's my self list. But God, putting it together, my self list, assets, profits, and losses, is now moved over to your list. Self, Christ. Christ, my Lord Jesus Christ, your list. And on your list is profit. And there's only one word. Christ Jesus, your Lord. Losses? None. Only win. Only win. Win. Wow. Now, having said that, over to 2 Corinthians. Chapter 8. And may I pick up, please? It's a marvelous thing. I just have to say it, so I'm free. I bet you, most of you, all of you, could say Romans 8:32, the truth will set you free. But how free are you? You can maybe say that. How free are you? For real. God has set you free in Christ so that your profit and loss, you aren't looking at your dumb. You aren't looking at yourself. Forget yourself. I don't care who you are. I would be very comfortable with Queen Mary if she was alive over there, Elizabeth or something, or with a president. I'd honor their position. But I understand they're on the human level. And I'm looking at God in their presence. And all they are is just like me. That's all they are. Maybe had a couple of advantages in some areas. Certainly Bill Gates has done better business-wise than I have. There's no question. But we aren't talking about that. We're talking about the value of a human life. And God, you make that valuable, obviously. So, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, picking up, if I can, in verse 9 directly. For you know, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor. Why? That ye through his poverty, his death on the cross, emptying everything that you and I try to make profit of, to try to count as worthy, Christ crucified it, condemned it. That through his poverty we might be rich through his poverty. Now, in the light of that, if I can, over please to 2 Corinthians chapter 7. Chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Yep. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And picking up, if I can, verse 17, to just tie it together. Therefore, if anyone be in Christ, he's a new creature, new creation. Oh, brand new. Old things have passed, all gone, just like heaven and earth, they're going to pass away. All gone, far as God's concerned. Behold, all things have become new. That's right, they're all new, all new. God, so my profit and loss, no, I'm not trying to put anything in that column. I'm going to remove it all. It's a bad, bad bargain. Not going to come out good at all. So therefore, God, I'm going to look to you to deal with my head and to deal with my heart. Over to Colossians. Colossians chapter 3. In Colossians chapter 3, may I pick up in thought, verse 3. You are dead. I'll even catch the first part. Verse 1. 3:1. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection not on things above, but on things of the earth. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. On the earth, for you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall we also appear with him in glory. So God, that's an awesome thing. Thank you, and I understand that. I'm a little bit. So God, that's why the prophet, you aren't. God isn't interested in, well, listen, I raised great deal of money for the heart fund. Now what's that going to do? There's nothing wrong with doing that. I'm just saying, what's it going to do? With God, it's no value to God. I love my children. What's that going to do? Nothing. Nothing. No. Well, that doesn't mean you shouldn't do them. It's just that we aren't counting on that. God, you aren't counting on it. So I don't want to count on it. I don't want to count on my health, my wealth, my coming, my going, my family, my friends, my enemies, my good, my bad, my stupidity. I don't want to count on that. I don't want to do that. No. I'm going to count on you, God. Therefore, God, I'm going to go over Colossians 1. And verse 27. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery, the riches of the glory, riches, whatever it is, it's rich, it isn't poor, of this mystery among you, Gentiles, what is so awesomely rich? Christ in you, the hope of glory. Right. The riches of the glory in Christ, Philippians. God, the riches of the glory in Christ, in you. That's an awesome thing. It is. That's why I have my past, present, and future. You're the author, you're the finisher of the beginning and the ending. You're all of it. I thought that's correct. Over, if you would, now to Ephesians. Rich. You made us rich. I did. So what am I trying to go to my poverty for and count my profit and loss and trying to make my riches there? I don't want to make them there. Not going to come out for me there. There's no way I'm going to get profit. Your treasures are in heaven. My investments here and the stock market, if I had any, all of those different things, that's here. It isn't going to do me one drop of good there. Not one drop of good. No matter what, my good works, my bad works, no good. The only thing that profits is that I am crucified with Christ, and nevertheless I live, and Christ, you in my heart, I received you as my personal Savior. Christ in you, the hope of glory. God, my whole hope. I don't have any hopes. I don't know whether you do. I don't have any hopes. The only hope I have that I anticipate expectation, positive, that God, you're here, I'm here, and I'm going to be where I'm going to be tomorrow, because you already know that. So God, I'm going to trust you. That's what I'm doing. And I'll do everything I need to do, God help me, in all that I need to do. Now, so here's Ephesians, and if I can, in Ephesians chapter 1, interestingly enough. Now, remember we said, I've, in my poverty, he said, I've come to make you rich. Hang on to that. And the riches, Christ in you, the riches of the glory. Everything is, nothing's stingy. Nothing's cheap. Nothing. Nope. We're going to hang on to something. We aren't going to get it. It didn't make any difference. I just thought of it to be of help. You know, right now, if you were standing next to somebody that was literally dying, and you watched them in their literal, and it could be a very prestigious person having great whatever, and as you watch that person die, you're going to realize as you watch them that before they felt that sick, they were very confident and pompous, and they were in charge of their life. And who needs God or the Bible, right? Who cares? But right now, they don't have any of that, do they? And all of that hotshot stuff, flesh, is all gone in those moments. And no more, they're all gone. We bring nothing in, we take nothing out. And that's sobering. Have you been next to somebody when they die? That's sobering. But before that, we got the world on us, whatever. We're the guys, we got it. No, it's an illusion. That's a hard way to find it out. You don't want to find it out. You want to listen to God and learn it. Ephesians 1, verse 7. In whom we have our redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. So God, here we are, and we're looking. Counted all as dung. That's right. Why not? God, You forgave them. And what You put in Your grace? You're full of grace and truth, our Lord. That's right. Verse 18. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, God's, and what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the believing heart. God, some awesome thing, You have made us so super valuable that you bought us with a price. You are ahead of us to make sure You save us to get there. You're the finisher to make sure we get everything. And You're there, God, to make sure we have it all. From the start to the finish. How can I lose, God, when I get connected? Not just a whole lot of words to see it. I need to see the picture. Wow. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 7. That in the ages to come, He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. What are you going to do forever? It isn't about anything about your big or small or position or prestige or possessions. No. You're going to show what? Forever. Connected to You, God, You're going to show Your grace in saving us. How are You going to do that? Because Christ is full of grace. Christ in you is the hope of glory. Christ is the one who, when you see us, angels and the rest, then you're going to see Christ. That's right. Right? And it's in Your grace. Your grace is going to do that. That's correct. Chapter 2, verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy for His great love wherewith He loved us, verse 5, even when we were dead, hath quickened us together and with Christ, and by grace are you saved. So God, You're God, here we are, and You're wonderful. You save us, and You're going to show Your wonderful riches and Your grace in a most wonderful way. Over to Ephesians chapter 3. And in Ephesians chapter 3, picking up if I can, Ephesians 3 and in verse 16. Verse 8 first. Unto me, who am less than the least of the saints, all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Verse 16. The message is full of wealth. He became poor that we could become rich. That, verse 16, that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with all might, strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. God, that's what You want. You want us all the riches of Your glory. Always rich. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundant above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Now, above, beyond. In other words, it's beyond. It's beyond. It's beyond everything we can ask or think. That's correct. Beyond able to do it. No, we're not. No, no. It excels. It's superior. That's right. Wow. And it passes. It's think of the Philippians 4:7. The peace of God which passes our understanding. There's your word. Excel. Excellence. It's beyond. God, what are you saying now? That whatever you ask or think, whatever you ask or think, well, that's about everything I got. That's me. Above it. It's above. According to the power that worketh in us, God, that you're going to do that. Uh-huh. I'll do that. So, God, it's an awesome adventure. But I have to do it by faith. That's right. You have to believe that it's so. And then you latch on to it by faith. How did all they do it? By faith. How did Samson kill 1,000 Philistines with the jawbone of an ass? By faith. How did you walk across the Red Sea? By faith. By faith. How did you do anything? God, we walk by faith and not by sight. So, here, verse 21, now unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end, amen. Why are we sitting here? For this to happen. That's where it happens. You're in the assembled the body together, and God is encouraging, strengthening, stimulating the body to what? To be able to have a wonderful enjoyment of his wonderful person. He's the head of the assembly. He's the boss. He's the Lord. He's the Savior. He's the sovereign God in a most wonderful way. So God, here we are looking in the light of your surpassing, supreme knowledge, wonderful knowledge of you. In closing, over if you would, 2 Corinthians again. 2 Corinthians. And to see it, if you would. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. That's chapter 2. Verse 14. Now thanks, that's the word grace, thanks be unto God, which always, 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 causes us, that's us, believers, to triumph, to prevail, to have the victory, to overcome. How so? In Christ, so that we're able to profit and loss. We aren't caught up in that. And we aren't trying to present something that's going to be a bankruptcy. We don't need to present that. Verse 14, that maketh manifest, clear, public, plain, easy to see, the savor, the fragrance of his knowledge. What did you want, Paul? I counted it all loss for the superabounding wonderment of knowing God. Knowledge of Christ. It's all about, we started it, said it, tried to say it. It's all about you, God. Uh-huh. That's right. What are you supposed to be doing, Corinthians? Up and down the streets of Corinth? Up and down the streets of Rome, like the Roman conqueror Titus and all of them would come in, and you could ride in the back of the chariot if you were family, etc., and you could get up on the chariot and ride through the streets of Rome with all the flames going and the torches and the fragrance of incense everywhere up and down the streets, and you'd go, and here you are in the lead chariot, here comes the general and his conquest, boom, down the road. That's the picture. That's believers going to work, going in the kitchen, going to school. That's believers. No. Yes. And Paul said, the excellency over and above and beyond, That is so awesome. I count it all but dung. Everything else. So it isn't anything about whether you did good this week or bad this week. No. No, it's about you, God, and your saving grace. The knowledge, verse 14, the knowledge, savor the fragrance of his knowledge by way of us in every place. Because everywhere you go, if you're a believer, you bring God into the kitchen, into the grocery store, don't you? Everywhere you go. What are they supposed to know? God. They're going to know God. They aren't going to know you, how nice you are and polite you are, and you didn't push them out of line. No, you did very nice. You have a wonderful relationship to God, and the Spirit of God is going to convey that. And where it is receptive, it'll be picked up and picked up. Otherwise, they won't hear it. No more than right now. Here comes the information. Here comes the information from the TV station somewhere. And coming across, here it is, about thus and thus and thus. Thus. But you know what? You don't hear it. You don't hear it at all. Unless you had the right channel and could turn it on, you would hear and see it, wouldn't you? But right now it's there. And when the believing heart is right with God and going, the people that are able to be tuned in a little bit, they pick it up. The other people don't even know it exists, just like we don't. We don't know it exists. We don't know what it exists. I have no idea what it's saying. Wow. That's it. God. Wow. The flavor, the fragrance of Christ in you. It isn't you, that's no offense. It isn't that you smell good. It's that God does. God smells good. How's that? You can go out and people come in and say, I wasn't there kind of the snow and say, we found out God smells good. God smells good in me. God in me smells good. The excellency of that, the superiority of that, overwhelms everything in my life. Wow. Our Father in God, we thank you for your kindness and grace, and here we are. So deal with us, God, we fumble through it all. Thank you for caring. Thank you for truth, reality. God, it's there all around us if we just awaken to it and realize it. So honor yourself in all of this. Give safety, walking, driving, encouragement for those that are sick and all of those different things. And our God put this all together for us inch by inch. And that's all we're going to ask for you to be honored. And our God, we're going to thank you very, very much that many would come to know you as their Lord and Savior in these days. In Christ's name, amen. Thank you for that. May I want to stand? We'll sing one stanza, if we can. Great hymn, but we'll sing one stanza. 408.